This is a Stock Guru podcast from StockGuru.com. Today's podcast may contain forward-looking statements or other information about the companies mentioned. Remember, forward-looking statements involve a number of risks and uncertainties. We encourage you to do your own due diligence. And now, your host, John Pentany, publisher of StockGuru.com.
Welcome to StockGuru.com. I'm John Pentany, and today we're going to be discussing Nutrapharma Corporation. It is traded on the OTCQB as NPHC. The company operates as a biotechnology company specializing in the acquisition, licensing, and commercialization of pharmaceutical products and technologies for the management of neurological disorders, cancer, autoimmune, and infectious diseases. This includes multiple sclerosis and HIV. Additionally, the company markets drug products for sale for the treatment of pain under the brand name Niloxone and Pet Pain Away. With us today is the chairman and CEO of Nutrapharma, Rick Deitch. Rick, welcome to Stock Guru.
John, thanks for having me.
Rick, first tell me a bit about yourself. How did you get into the company and what is your basic background?
Well, I'm a biochemist, but I'm a little different in the field because I'm both a pharmaceutical biochemist and a nutritional biochemist. I conduct a lot of research in rational drug design using computer adaptive drug development. I worked on cancer drugs, pain drugs, et cetera. I've authored two books, Are You Age-Wise? A Guide to Healthy Aging. And my last book was called Invisible Killers. And it's all about the toxins, the environment, and how they affect us really biochemically on a cellular level, but also holistically as a whole body issue. So I was working on several drugs in the 90s. That were derived from venomous animals, primarily cone snail venom. And cone snails are venomous snails in the ocean, found in the ocean. And that eventually led me to the research that we do at Nutrapharma utilizing cobra venom and peptides from cobra venom. That's kind of the move I made over to the public side and to Nutrapharma Corporation. And we've been able to use that information, that research, to build the patent portfolio we have today and the drug opportunities we have today.
The company's had a long history compared to most public small-cap companies. You put out an update on December 27th that really brought investors up to date where the company is now. Can you give us a brief overview of that?
Certainly. And you talk about the long history, and that's interesting because a lot of biotech companies, if they start, quote-unquote, the right way, they raise $100 million and they fly through it and they eventually get into a phase one or phase two study and they swim through cash. Now, Nutrapharma has been public since inception, really since 2000. And in all, we have approximately $50 million of losses on the books, but most of that is in the form of stock issuances, grants, and loan payments. The fact is we've spent less than $15 million in cash since inception. I could argue that we've done more for less than any biotech company in the history of the world because we've been very responsible in how we spend money and how we move the needle and move things forward. So you mentioned that I did put out a shareholder letter at the end of last year, kind of talking about what we did last year. And we did make a lot of leaps forward. We consolidated our management team. We brought in new management to try and open up new markets. We're looking at international distribution of products, our over-the-counter products. We brought in a new chief scientific officer, Dr. Dale Vanderputten, who used to work at the NIH, National Institutes for Health. These are the people that are really well connected. We brought in Dan Oren on the board. We've really expanded our management team to get to the next level. We also talked about the orphan designation we have on one of our drugs. I'm sure we'll get more into that later. But that led us to what do we do? How do we get into those clinical trials and how do we scale up production? And so we started working with Omnia Biologics to scale up production of that drug to get ready for those phase two clinical studies and eventual licensure of the drug. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on now that it begs the imagination of how we have the market value we have when we have so much. We have over 20 patents, three key patents that were just issued in the last 6 years. We have over-the-counter drugs, actual sales of our pain relievers, Niloxone for humans and Pet Pain Away for dogs and cats. And then we have our ethical drug platform. That alone should certainly warrant a much higher market value than we have today. So it's people need to understand what we're sitting on and what we're doing to move that process forward. There's a lot of exciting things happening.
Yeah, there was recent news coverage on the Miami NBC television station, their news department. They discussed the uses of cobra venom, as you mentioned a few moments ago, and Nutrapharma. How many of the company's products and its subsidiaries now use this cobra venom?
Well, the fact is that that's the basis for intellectual property and the basis of our product portfolio. It's all of the different peptides and how they interact within cobra venom. Any venomous animal has more than one component to their venom. It's kind of what they call a melee effect, and different components do different things. So the different components of cobra venom can be used for all sorts of different activities. Primarily, our over-the-counter products are standardized to four different peptides in the cobra venom, but it's a natural extract of cobra venom. Whereas our multiple sclerosis drug is a modified form of alpha cobra toxin, which is a single peptide from cobra venom that we will be making synthetically, well, through fermentation for a clinical study. So it all pretty much comes from cobra venom. The NBC special was fabulous. They did a small feature on us. And it was picked up nationally, so it's available pretty much at every NBC affiliate around the country. It also led to another interview with a Spanish language show, Premier Impacto, which will be featured on their show in the next few weeks.
Excellent. Now let's discuss some of the subsidiaries in detail. Naloxone is a pain reliever that's already on the market. Can you tell me more about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Naloxone is an all-natural pain reliever and anti-inflammatory, and it's primarily an extract of cobra venom. And what the cobra venom does is it goes directly into the nerve and it blocks pain. It actually modulates the nerve signal. Just think about it this way. When the snake bites you, he doesn't want you freaking out. He doesn't want you in pain. He wants everything working fine. He just wants to be able to, well, for predation, he wants to be able to eat his prey. And for defense, he just wants you out of the way. So when you take that venom and you take a dilution of that venom, a 1/10,000th dilution of the venom, instead of blocking the nerve signals completely, you modulate the signal through the nerve. So big signals become small signals as they travel through the nerve. So pain is a big signal and it goes away. Small signals, heat, cold, touch, all those sensitivities, they're unchanged. So it's not a numbing agent. We have both an oral spray and a topical gel. The oral spray you spray in your mouth several times a day. It goes all over your body and it blocks pain systemically. But we even have evidence in our published animal models that goes into the brain and blocks pain of the parafascicular nucleus, which is where pain is processed. So we really do affect pain globally throughout the body. Then we have a topical gel. Wherever you rub it, you're going to deal with pain locally. And that'll kick in usually within about 20 minutes. You can use it several times a day. And the great thing about the topical is there's no heat, no cold, no numbing, no smell. It's simply these peptides from the cobra venom that go in and block pain and prevent inflammation and calm inflammation. So it's a great product. Our last animal model was in rats, and it showed that we outperform morphine. We last up to 6 hours longer than morphine. And because it's so powerful at such a low dose, it was 600 times more potent than morphine on a molecular basis. And when you think about it that way, it's non-opiate, non-narcotic, non-addictive. This really should be the drug of choice instead of the strong pain medications, especially the opiates. And certainly people on opiates should start utilizing naloxone to get off those opiates and reduce those side effects.
Now let's look at Pet Pain Away. Obviously, pets have pains. Tell us about that subsidiary.
Yeah, Pet Pain Away is interesting because it was more of an afterthought. I'll tell you, one of our employees had a 17-year-old Springer Spaniel. And Springer Spaniels usually don't live that long. Rusty was the Methuselah of Springer Spaniels. And she started giving Rusty naloxone, just spraying in her food, which is the human product. And he started running around the place like a puppy. So we started testing in animals, eventually coming up with Pet Pain Away, which is an oral product. It's a chicken-flavored gel that you can put in the pet's food, dogs or cats' food. The dogs and cats love the flavor. It's absolutely fantastic. And just like naloxone, it's both analgesic, so it's a pain reliever, and it's anti-inflammatory. The wonderful thing about this is that whereas there are so many choices for pain drugs for humans, there are really no choices for dogs and cats. Everything for dogs causes huge amounts of side effects. You know, they usually give you Demerol or Tramadol, which just knocks them out, or they give an NSAID, which causes diarrhea, stomach upset, all sorts of side effects. All pain medication in cats causes kidney failure, so they don't really want to give any pain medication to cats. Meanwhile, you can use Pet Pain Away safely, chronically. You can give it to them every day, and it works amazingly well without side effects. And you see elderly dogs or cats start running around the house like puppies and kittens, and even if they have hip dysplasia or injury, things like that, you're going to see great results even within just a few days.
Now, while many pharmaceutical companies have to gain the orphan drug status you mentioned earlier, most of them don't get it. It's very rarely granted. Your company has had a drug that was granted this. Can you kind of give us an update there? I believe it's MS for children is what it's specifically for.
Yeah, it's actually pediatric multiple sclerosis. So we were working with the FDA for many years, even going back to 2005, on our multiple sclerosis drug. And our MS drug, as I said before, is a single peptide. It's a modified alpha cobra toxin. And what we've seen in preclinical work and in vivo work with rat models and then also with open label studies in humans is we've seen an incredible result in MS patients. In multiple sclerosis, the disease always progresses. In fact, all the drugs approved for MS are approved by how well they slow the forward progression of the disease. They don't stop it. They don't reverse it. They just slow it down. Primarily, what we've seen in our open-label studies is a halting of the forward progression of the disease and, over time, a relief of symptoms where patients actually feel better and look better and have better function over time. Now, this needs to be proven in clinical studies. What we've seen so far in open-label studies and animal models is just very, very encouraging. But we need to get into the phase 2 trials. Now, the problem is MS itself is a big market. It's over 2 million patients. It's considered to be at least a $15 to $20 billion global market. And so it's pretty hard to start those trials, to get the right partners, to pay for those large trials. Then you have orphan designation. And for your listeners that don't know this, in 1986, Congress passed the Orphan Drug Act, and it encouraged the FDA to help companies that were going after what's called orphan conditions. These are diseases that have fewer patients, and so it's not as lucrative to have drugs for those patients. And so they get all sorts of dispensations, smaller trials. Faster response, you have fast track, you have rolling review, you have waiver of fees. And on the back end of it, if you get your drug approved, you have exclusivity in the disease state for 7 years. So in essence, you own the disease for 7 years. So there's a lot of benefits you get for orphan status. And the FDA actually designated pediatric multiple sclerosis, which is multiple sclerosis suffered by people under the age of 16. They designated that as an orphan condition with fewer than 80,000 patients. So even though it's very similar in presentation to multiple sclerosis, it's considered as a separate condition. So we went to the FDA, we applied for orphan designation, and they took all of our information in, and we got approval in about 3 weeks. And it was thrilling to us because now that really validates the rationale. And I will tell you this. We applied for a second indication, myasthenia gravis, which is another autoimmune disease, and we didn't get it. We got denied. They wanted to see further testing. They wanted to see some more animal work in myasthenia gravis. And at first, I was upset by that because we didn't get the second indication. But later, I thought about it, and it actually makes what we have more valuable because the FDA doesn't just give this away. You have to have a strong rationale and proof of concept that your drug is going to be effective in that orphan condition to get the orphan designation. And so we got it. So the next step is to work with the FDA on protocol development and move into as quickly as possible into our phase 2 trials, which we expect to do this calendar year.
The stock's been trading a lot of shares lately. Do you have any thoughts on what's going on there?
Yes. Well, as we move forward and try to move forward quickly, over time we have taken convertible debt. That's debt from companies that it tends to be low interest debt, but at the end of 6 months, they have the option to convert into free trading stock. And we had to do that. We did that to try to move things forward quickly, to bring in the staff that we brought in, to really gear up the company as we have in the last 12 months. But because of that, now these convertible notes are coming due. What people have to understand is a couple things. First of all, it's a short-term issue. They're going to convert, they're going to sell the stock, and then they're done. Then those sellers are done. And the people that bought the stock now are new shareholders, and they're out in the market, hopefully in support of us for the long term. So that's the first thing to consider. Second thing to consider is simply market value. We have phase 1 clinical study. We have orphan designation and MS drug. We have real revenues with naloxone and Pet Pain Away, and we have growth opportunities for those that I'd like to extrapolate that a little bit more. But we have a lot going on that should put us at a much higher market value. We had a recent research report published that gave us a higher price target that would give us a market value approaching $30 to $35 million, which is really where our comfort zone should be, not under $3 million where we are right now. And in fact, should we get into a phase two clinical study this year, we should have a minimum market value of anywhere from $80 to $100 million. And that's based on Tufts research. So the fact is, no matter how you slice it, we're undervalued for what we have right now. And people need to look at the company as a whole, not simply the daily trading of the stock.
And Rick, do you have any closing thoughts you'd like to add?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about some things, but let me talk about the future. Obviously, things change as we go, but I did talk about international distribution. We're focused with distributors right now in Mexico, Spain, and Israel. I still believe that India could be our biggest market, and we're working with several different distributors in India. The product is approved and ready for sale in India. We're just looking for the right distributors in India and in China as well. So we're also redoing our websites to really take advantage of the sales growth in Niloxone and to really drive sales for Niloxone. And then the real exciting thing is Pet Pain Away. We announced a few months ago that we had licensed Pet Pain Away to an infomercial company called DEG. They've started their test on Pet Pain Away. The infomercial is available. If you go to petpainaway.com, you can see it. They did an amazing job on that commercial using real pets, real animals, using the product, and you can see the befores and afters, where a dog that couldn't hop into the truck is now hopping in and out of the truck. A dog that couldn't climb a single stair is leaping up the stairs. You can see incredible results with these dogs and cats. They're getting ready to roll out their campaign nationally. And we do believe that they're going to have a great year in marketing and distributing Pet Pain Away, which, of course, is great for us. We have a lot of amazing things happening. I want people to really watch what we're doing. If people aren't on our newsletter, go to NutriPharma.com and sign up to get our press releases and our newsletters so you can join our list and be apprised of everything that's going on. And really just keep watching. There's a lot of exciting things happening this year.
Well, Rick, thank you for being with us today.
It's a pleasure, John. Thanks for having me.
This has been a Stock Guru podcast. More information can also be found on our website, stockguru.com. Many of the companies we discuss have compensated us for investor relations services. Details can be found on our website under disclosures for the client company. The views expressed are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of Stock Guru or its parent company, Pentany Enterprises. This podcast may not be duplicated or copied without the expressed written consent of Pentany Enterprises. We welcome anyone to link directly to our webpage hosting this podcast. For more information on this or any of our companies featured, we invite you to go to stockguru.com.